Let me pray, Lord, for us before we go, get on our way, so I don't get too far off the reservation. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about choosing Matthias. So I want to first credit Mike with the selection of the graphic of St. Matthias. He is not a famous guitar player. That is not why he's holding an axe. Pictures, iconography of the saints in art are generally depict the method by which they were martyred. So it's not in the Bible, but tradition holds that Matthias was martyred by, I think, beheading, but I'm not entirely sure, but it involved an axe, but in case you're wondering about all that. But I wanted to say to all of you that we are getting close to the end. This month, actually, will be the end. And it seems like, or at least that's what it looks like. And it seems like it's always been the way it is right now. And I want to tell you that, frankly, I'm struggling a little bit to grasp in some ways what things will be like when, as they say, the time has come. I am not talking about freedom from the coronavirus lockdown, by the way. I'm talking about an upcoming change in my band of brothers on the elder council of our church. After 6.5 years of continuing service, including as a clerk of our council, Richard Dick will be leaving the council. And I just want to tell you, by the way, in case you didn't know, the job of clerk of the council at BCC consists of a lot of meticulous note-taking, careful editing and publishing of minutes, and all manner of dealing with other people who can be, in my own case at least, shall we say, less than prompt in their responsiveness to all that work. Richard has shown himself more than faithful in this task, and more to the point, Richard is like bedrock for me. He mentored me during my season of leadership in this very men's ministry. When he prays, he always begins prayer with a section of scripture, which reminds me to keep my ears open to what God has to say before anyone else's voice is heard. He has consistently been the one to ask the hard questions in council that everyone else knows needs to be asked, but perhaps we lack the wording. His heart for God and the Lord's working in his life are evidence. And as for his sense of humor, at least two people on the council find him to be reliably funny, although there may be an occasional eye roll. And I want to tell you also a side point that I have every confidence in our church's process for identifying, nominating, screening, and electing our elder council. For those of you who are members of BCC, I hope you prayerfully considered and participated in the electronic vote in advance of our virtual congregational meeting, which is coming up this coming Sunday afternoon. It's also clear that God is sovereign, his will shall be done, and our council will move forward to glorify him in the months and years ahead. But in the past 6 years in this church, I have not yet served in a leadership capacity where Richard wasn't right there alongside me, and I will miss that very much. So that's been my experience with this, and I want to ask you if you've ever had an experience where you are missing part of your team or are about to, and what did you do about it, and where did you turn? So, as many of you realize, particularly those of you with a liturgical background of any sort, we find ourselves in the space between Jesus' resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And since some traditions commemorate Matthias and his memory on May 14th, a couple of days from now, and since this is the first time that there was ever, in the history of the church, an elder election, if you will, I thought that we could talk about this for a little bit this morning. So on your handout or in your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forward two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. May God bless the reading of his word. All right. So this is Peter speaking, in case it wasn't clear. And Peter has now stepped into a slightly new role, meaning not that he wasn't already a leader among the 12, but this is the first time that he is without the benefit of Jesus' bodily presence right next to him. He's with his brothers, the now 11, also with the current body of believers, which numbered 120 at that time. And something was bothering him. There had been 12 of the main group for 3 years. Jesus himself made reference to 12 that would be sent to preach and have authority over demons. You can find these references in Matthew 10, Mark chapter 3. Jesus also mentioned that 12 would be an important number because the apostles were going to judge the tribes of Israel. That's from Matthew 19, 28. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, I think something was just bothering him, as things usually bothered Peter. You can see lots of examples of things that just, things don't sit right with him for a variety of reasons. I think that's for Peter, it's probably a little bit like me in that I have this great need for symmetry in my life, for things to be in some sort of rhythm. I get very unsettled when they're not. I think Peter is a lot like that. And so more on this point later, but Peter's experiencing this need to fix something that's not quite right. Behind the symbolism of restoring the apostleship to an even 12, I believe Peter was moved to consider his team. It made sense to him more when he considered what God was telling him in the Psalms, and more on that in a minute. Knowing the charge that Jesus had just given them to spread the gospel throughout the world, it moved him to consider a replacement on the team. For all of you Northern Virginia overachievers, and I put myself in that bucket, it can take more than a little humility to admit that your team would be better off with a position filled rather than by just assuming that we can pick up the slack. There may have also been a desire to put the bitter memory of Judas' betrayal behind them, to perhaps avoid the conversation of, quote, back in the day when we were 12. I also kind of think it's more likely they were actually looking for, at least in part, a new church treasurer, since that was Judas' old job, to handle the money. They probably asked Matthew to take this on and as an additional duty, but his writing career was taking off at the time, so he may have declined. Peter ultimately came to realize that they would be better off with a replacement. Keep in mind that the earliest church was essentially always more than just the 12. There were others who followed at various distances, some closer than others. It's likely that Mary Magdalene was a close follower, whereas Joseph of Arimathea may have been a follower, but at more of a distance because of the role he had in the community. And it's my mind that's likely both of these were there as part of the 120, along with others. When the discussion and the prayer started to turn in that group of 120, it probably became known as they're coming back from Jesus' ascension into heaven and getting back to the head off to the upper room to have this discussion. There was probably some hint that a replacement might be in the works. It's also possible that among the 120 disciples were the 72 that Jesus sent out in pairs to spread the gospel before the crucifixion. but I can see a sense of, I wonder who they're going to pick. Possibly, although this is certainly conjecture, and bear with me if this is too far off the reservation, but I think they're probably also wondering who's going to manage the finances of the church now that Judas is no longer there. And that may have featured in the minds of some. Now, if you were one of those followers and you happen to have a financial mindset or if God started to move in your heart that you also maybe thought there needed to be a replacement, you might come to understand that you also may need to change from the position you are as one of these relative outsiders to take on new responsibility. Maybe they weren't thinking, oh, I'll become one of the 12, but maybe they're thinking, here's how I can help. But I think that's how, in part, God works through some of the, through leaders and through members of the group as change needs to happen. Now, I want to refer you back to the worksheet if you've got it on there, and I've included some verses from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18. And I consider this kind of an admonition to all of us, where we consider Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, and he tells them in part to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. I don't know exactly how worship was done back in the early church, but I'm reasonably certain that it involved at least a lot of singing as well as a lot of prayer. Now I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to guess that you have more prayer and less singing or music in your life today. And that's not for everybody, but I think in general. So what about on Sundays? Are you singing along with the worship team these days? Or are you simply watching the show? Do you have music playing in your house? Do spiritual songs ever even have the chance to get stuck in your head? You know, Pastor Marty started to lead us through the songbook of the Bible, the Psalms, and we sing many psalms in church with modern music attached to them. We don't have the music that the Jewish people had when the Psalms were originally written, and we have, you know, what we have the lyrics, and we're setting them to music that makes a little bit more connection with us. But I'm going to tell you that even in that songbook of the Bible, we're going to eventually encounter some of these songs that have some very uncomfortable sounding lyrics. And I want to share with you some small parts of Psalm 109. And that's where Peter's words come from, by the way, this morning. The title in the NASB version, which tends to entitle things, says this psalm is about vengeance invoked upon adversaries. It's a psalm of David, who was certainly not a wartime, or was a wartime leader, but not a man of violence. He was a man after God's own heart. And in the first five verses of Psalm 109, he talks about how he's been wronged by his enemies. But then in verse 6, the cursing begins. Appoint a wicked man over him. And I'll just add, has anybody ever had a bad boss? You know, that's quite the curse. David then says, let his prayer, talking about the man who has been, who has wronged David, let his prayer become sin. That's kind of a radical thought. Verse 8, it says, let his days be few, let another take his office. Essentially, hope he dies early and I hope he loses his job. Verses 9 through 20 extend the cursing to include fatherlessness, widowhood, wandering, begging, destroyed homes, foreclosure, theft, absence of any grace, cursing, mental illness, and having the memory of them utterly cut off from the earth. I will say it's probably reasonable that this would be a familiar song for Peter. Remember, the Jewish people lived under the subjugation of the Romans, and most, if not all, the disciples believed, at least at first, that Jesus as Messiah was going to be a great military ruler. Many probably also came to realize that Jesus was going to turn the religious practices of the day upside down. Recall that Peter even drew a sword against those coming to arrest Jesus in the garden. You know, possibly at this time, Peter may have been reflecting how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures and may have wondered how a popular cursing song would be fulfilled. And then, as he so often does, God redeemed the song by showing Peter it encouraged replacement of a missing apostle. But all this had the context of music, lyrics, and song. So it's important that we consider psalms, but also music and just as part of our worship, as we're considering a difficult challenge. We also need to consider how we pray. And back in the section we're looking at today, we see Peter not ask God to bless who Peter's going to pick, but for God to show them his will. I think this is an important distinction. You know, oftentimes we have our minds made up in advance, but we need to allow God to show us his will before moving out. Note that Peter says the replacement will, quote, occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside. That's why I imagine they picked a new treasurer. But let me add, there's little to no support in scripture for my imagination on this point. Peter worked with the circumstances at hand to make the first decision of the church without Jesus right next to him. God had redeemed this song of curses that Peter probably had stuck in his head, if you will. And in humility, Peter asked for God's will to be made clear. Both Joseph Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias were the right people for the right job, but Peter simply asked for clarity, and they drew lots. You know, and in my life, it's often less of a choice between good and bad. It's between good and also pretty good. Sometimes we're faced with two perfectly good choices, and we should ask for God to make it clear to us. So the season of virtual base camp and mask wearing has been redeemed in that we've all had an ample opportunity to listen to what God is saying more closely, pray more intently, and perhaps listen more clearly to some spiritual songs and psalms. So the question is, what will be different about you when the lockdown is over, which is coming fast, by the way? Here are some points to consider, and given your life circumstances, about what God has for you next. It might be bigger than you think. You may be asked by the church or your boss at work or a family member or a friend to consider a role that is way outside of your comfort zone. You know, maybe God is stirring that in your heart right now. It may be at least larger than your comfort zone. That's something you should consider. You should also consider that this role that you're, what might be different on the other side of this whole thing, it might be something that seems to you a very small thing to do. Are there roles that you're discounting because you may not consider them big enough? Are there easy ways to step into ministry immediately that you think are no big deal, and yet you can't shake God's call on you in this area? Finally, I wanted to, you know, we're talking here about, you know, the end of the base camp semester coming soon and that probable end of the lockdown later this week, or at least the start of the end. And we've been talking a lot about the decisions and the moves that you make. What changes you'll make in your life to serve the Lord in the near future. But I want to emphasize that this is following after Christ is a lifelong, it's a thing. It's a lifelong adventure in our service to the Lord. And we are called to be faithful in the long run. We want to finish each immediate task well, but we want to be consistently faithful over time, just like Richard has done on the Elder Council. Okay, so we're going to pray for technology to succeed here today. So I'm going to put a song in your head. this is a song that we have sung in church. It'll be familiar to most of you, but I want you to consider this. This is a band called 10th Avenue North, and just listen. There's some additional commentary that the band has included in this version, and I think it's important for us to consider as a part of our message this morning.
Nobody ever wants to have to make the choice, your family or your career. But 2 years ago, that was exactly the choice we had to make. We realized in order to be the husbands and fathers that we needed to be, we had to cut way back on how much time we spent on the road. We might even have to quit. But as difficult as that might be, we knew we could not sacrifice our families on the altar of ministry. Here I am, all my intentions, all my obsessions, I wanna lay them all down in your hands. Only your love is vital. Though I'm not entitled, still you call me your child. So we gave up the band, and God gave it back. But now we're doing it so much differently. We're doing it knowing God doesn't need us to be successful. He just wants us to be surrendered. You want me, the King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
All right. Hopefully that song will stick with you for a little while. It's a lot to consider. Here's some questions for you this morning. What's missing? What's about to go missing? If nothing's missing right now in your life, think about how you're gonna manage that decision. How much music is in your life, and how can you increase the volume on that? How do you allow God to speak to you, not only in times of worship, but in the spiritual songs that you keep going on in your life? And finally, keep talking about this one. What has God shown you during this time, and how will you respond to God's call? The King of Heaven wants you. He wants me. He wants us to be surrendered. Thanks for listening, and back to you, Mike.